But Matthew chapter 1, beginning from verse 21, the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Notice verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which has been interpreted, "God with us." And notice 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Let's say that together. Ready? Begin. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now. We ask that you bless us with your word. I pray, Father, that you remove any distractions from our hearts. I hope, Father, that you'd get a hold of our hearts this morning, that we may listen attentively and not miss the message of Christmas. Please, Lord, the world is trying to dim or dumb down this message. And I pray that we can, Lord, make it a reality in our lives today. I pray that, Father, you be with anyone here this morning that has never received this great gift, has never accepted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. I pray that you'd speak to their hearts today. And Father, for those that have, I pray that you'd renew their commitment and remind them of this wonderful gift, that they can just look up in heaven today and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you." And we do thank you this morning for this unspeakable gift. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There are many gifts we have received from the Creator. There is the gift of life, the gift of family, the gift of marriage, the gift of children, the gift of provision. And we thank God for that. We thank God for the different gifts that God has given us. The Bible mentions that every perfect gift is from the Father of lights. Everything that you and I have, everything that you and I own, is because of God. The truth of the matter is, without God, you and I wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be breathing, existing. You and I wouldn't have one cent to our name if it weren't for God. You and I wouldn't have any children, any loved ones, no nothing if it weren't for our Creator. God has made life a reality for all of us here today. But there is a gift that is, Paul mentions here, an unspeakable gift, a gift that is indescribable, a gift that leaves you and I speechless, a gift that words cannot describe. As a matter of fact, if you and I would try to attempt to describe this gift, we'll always fall short. However, I'm going to try to do that this morning in the few moments that I have, and try to do justice in what this means, this unspeakable gift, this gift that blows you away, this gift that just can leave you with a few words to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you." What is this gift? What is this unspeakable gift, this indescribable gift that Paul the Apostle talks about relating to God's? Well, number one, we understand that it is a gift of God. This unspeakable gift, this indescribable gift, is a gift of God. And the gift of God is Jesus Christ to you and me. The Bible mentions in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "And his name shall be called Jesus." That word means, that name means Savior, or Jehovah provides salvation. God is our Savior. Jesus Christ saves. And he, the Bible mentions, will save his people from their sins. That will give an indication to you and me today that you and I are sinners. You and I are sinners for these three reasons. Number one, you and I have rebelled against God. Number two, we have disobeyed God's commandments. And number three, we have not had a desire to seek after God. The Bible mentions, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible mentions in Romans chapter 3, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." Every single person does not have here in this room an inclination to seek after the Creator. We do not have that great love and desire and affection that we ought to have. And God has made it clear that there isn't anyone in this room or in this world that has a love that is so strong to God naturally. Naturally, we're all born sinners. Naturally, we're like sheep gone astray. Everyone's turned to his own way. And God never ever intended that you and I will live in this life without God. God's plan, when he created us, that you and I would have a perfect relationship with God. But unfortunately, sin broke that relationship. By the disobedience of one man, sin entered into the world. And then death by sin. For all have sinned in Adam. But thanks be to God that he's given us this great gift, and his name is Jesus, to save us from our sin, so he can renew that relationship with God once again. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, note it, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This great gift that God has given us can only come through Jesus Christ. There is no other way in which God will save a person, forgive a person, only through Jesus Christ. It's not through good works. It's not through religion. It's not because I'm a good person. No, God will look at a person at that day when it comes, when you die and stand before him, and he'll see if you have Jesus in your life, if you receive this great gift. The Bible mentions, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that was Jesus Christ. The Bible mentions in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you and I can be saved. There's no other name, not any religion, not any ritual. There isn't anything in this world that will have the proper way for our sin to be forgiven, only through Jesus Christ. And this is part of the gift that God has given us. This gift, this unspeakable gift that God wants to give to you, has an opportunity for your sins to be forgiven. You know what blew me away when I heard the gospel? When I heard this wonderful gospel, and by the way, gospel means good news. When I heard this wonderful gospel, what blew me away was the fact that God was willing to forgive everything that I've done and remember it no more. That blew me away because I know who I was and I know what I am. I'm not a good person. I may do good from time to time, but I'm not good to God. As a matter of fact, I remember the times when the gospel came to me. I remember that my sin was exposed. I remember I've disobeyed my parents, disrespect my parents. I remember treating people with disrespect and being angry, being lustful. I remember dabbling into some things that I'm so ashamed to speak about. You know, the times I'm in my secret place, my room, and I'm thinking awful things, doing awful things. And what blew me away, that God will forgive every word I've said, every action that I've done, and every thought that I've thought. I couldn't believe it. That God was willing to say, Charlie, I'm willing to wipe out your account. And I'm willing to take your sin upon myself. What a gift. What a gift. The Bible says there, blessed is he that whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The Bible says in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. And God said to Jeremiah, I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. I think John Newton, the hymn writer to Amazing Grace, can identify with this great gift. As a matter of fact, he said these words, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But let me say this to you this morning. You and I can never see this gift for what it is if you don't see yourself for who you are. A great sinner. There is no way in the world that you can see Jesus to be a great savior if you don't see yourself to be a great sinner. And, you know, we tend to say, no, I'm a good person. I do good to my fellow man. And that's all great and wonderful. But not everyone in this room here today has done good to God. We haven't loved God like we should. We haven't appreciated God like we should. We haven't thanked God like we should. We don't remember God like we should. Everyone in their nature have fallen short from God's glory. We have not loved God with all our heart. As a matter of fact, we've turned our backs away from him. Now, if you don't see yourself to someone that has done that, there's no way in the world you can ever turn to him and have this forgiveness. Well, what makes this gift also so special? Not only that we have forgiveness, but also another thing. The wages of sin is death, but, I love that but, the gift The gift of God is eternal life. You know, when Jesus came, he said this, I came to give life and give it more abundantly. See, God just doesn't want to give you this life. God wants to give you eternal life. See, this life is going to end one day. And in Jesus Christ, you can have your sin forgiven and you can have eternal life. See, the truth of the matter is, you and I are born sinners. We're born in the world sinners, but we're also born created in such a way that we are a living soul. When God breathed in the nostrils of Adam, the Bible mentions that he became a living soul. You are more than just a body. See your body that you have now? That's going to fade away one day. As a matter of fact, we're aging, we're dying, our body is decaying. Well, that's going to fall away one day. But you, the real person, is your spirit, is your soul. And that's going to go on to live. And you can either have eternal life with Jesus Christ or eternal death without Jesus Christ. And God doesn't want that. God doesn't want you to die in your sin. God wants you to have this eternal life that is through Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thought to have. Eternal life. You know what God said to Jesus said to his disciples? He says, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. He said this, I go and prepare a place for you. Now think about that just for a moment. If that doesn't blow your mind away. God comes all the way on earth to die for us. He's back, ascended into heaven, and is preparing a place for those that have received him as their savior. Amen. Right now, if you're a Christian, guess what God is doing? He's preparing a place for you. That's amazing. That's how much God loves you in this gift. It blows you away that God is preparing a place for you. But you know what's so amazing about it? Not only that God is preparing a place in heaven for us, but the fact is this. I'll go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven is not heaven without Jesus Christ. Heaven is not heaven without God being there. And friends, you've got to learn to live and love God right now through Jesus in order for heaven to be a place for you. Heaven is where God is. And if you can't live and love God right now and receive his gift, then heaven's not going to be a place for you. A lot of people have misconception what heaven's all about. They think heaven's in this little fairyland and in their own little town or village or whatever. No, heaven is where God is. That's his throne. He's the king. We are his people. And we need to come back to reality that he is preparing a place for us, but he's going to be there. That's wonderful. Wouldn't you want to be where the Lord is, the maker of this universe? I mean, Jesus said this, how many of you can add a cubit to his life or to his stature? Life is more than just the here and now. God wants to give you more than what you have, 50, 60, 70 years, maybe some of us 20, 30, however years that you have on earth. God says, I want to give you more than that. I want to give you eternal life. And I hope and pray that if you haven't received this, I hope and pray that you will. I don't know all the details about heaven, but I know it's going to be something that's going to blow you away. Some of the things that you look in life today, you go, wow, whoa, Lord. In heaven, you're just going to be speechless. You know, you're going to go to heaven and go, whoa. No, honestly. People here on earth, they're fascinated by a little painting that someone does by Michelangelo or someone, and they paid thousands of dollars and they go, wow, whoa. And I just have to say, look outside. Where do you think you got that painting from? Look outside and see the creation of God and let that blow you away. But how much more heaven? Heaven, eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. But even what makes this so special is the fact that God, heaven is his home, that means you are his children if you receive him as your savior. You know, John the Apostle can identify with this. John writes, behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we shall be called the children of God? You know what John was saying? Behold, what manner of love is this? That God will make us his children. Think about that now. God, the creator of the universe that holds the world like a speck of dust, wants to be your dad. Come on. You've got to ponder upon that for a moment. You've got to think about that. God wants to be your daddy, the creator of this whole universe, the maker of all. Now that should do something to your soul and your thought and your heart. That should make you say, Lord, do you want to be my dad? You're the creator. This is this love. What manner of love is this? That God wants to be our father. Well, what makes this so special is not only it's a gift of God, but it's a gift of grace. Please notice Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 again. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save, please note this phrase, his people from their sin. This indicates to us that Jesus is God. This is God's gift of grace, that God will become a man. Can you believe that? God, the King of the kings, the Lord of glory, will leave his home and come down to his creation. Notice verse 23. And behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Can you just ponder upon that thought? Now God is becoming a man. He was manifested in the flesh. He was a king and now becomes a servant. He was rich and becomes poor. 2 Corinthians 8, 9, he says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich for your sakes, he became poor, that through his poverty, you may be rich. You know what God was doing? God was stooped so low, became a man, and he was God in the flesh, to take away your sin, that you may have life. He stooped low that you may be lifted up from the miry clay of sin, pluck you out from that dirt, that filth, cleanse you and get rid of the shame and the pain and all that comes with it. God was doing that for you. God! Now, you know what makes this so amazing? What makes this so amazing is this love is unbelievable. You say, why? I'll tell you why. Because God didn't have to do it. He chose to do it. And this is where I want you to park and think about it for a moment. You being here today, God didn't have to. God didn't have to give you life, kids, family, friends, food, a job. God didn't have to give you all this. God didn't have to come all the way from heaven after, like sheep gone astray, we've turned our back away. Say, okay, Lord, leave me alone. Let me have the life that you've given me. Let me enjoy it without you. Just leave me alone. Leave me alone. And God says, no, I love you. And I'm going to prove my love. I'm going to come all the way on this earth to prove that I love you. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd, and I'm going to find my sheep. And he says, I lay down my life for my sheep. I lay it down. You know what Pilate, when he was there before Pilate being judged, you know what Pilate said to him? He said to Jesus, why don't you just admit that you're not who what they're actually accusing of you to be? Just forget it and you'll be gone. I can free you. Just deny the accusations. You know what he said to Jesus? He says, you can't take my life. No one takes my life. I lay it down. God became a man and laid down his life because he was thinking about you. He wasn't thinking about himself. That's what this love, it's out of this world. I think this is the greatest thing about this gift, that is God's love, that you could never experience it anywhere, any place. You know what the Bible says? That God does not slumber or sleep. When you're asleep, God's awake thinking about you. He says, the thoughts that I think toward you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God loves you. Shut away the lies of the devil to make you think that God is holding back from you and make you think that God doesn't love you, make you think that you're missing out. Shut away and get rid of these lies. God loves you. And he proved it. And he became a man, the Bible says, he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon himself a form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of man. And he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, the cross, the death of the cross wasn't an easy death. It was a death where it experienced pain, agony, suffering, a man of sorrows. Yet he was stricken and smitten, but he willingly did it. You know what he said? He goes, I gave my back to the smiters. I turned my back. I said, I'll take it for you. You know what God was doing? He said, I'll take their sin. I'll take the punishment for their sin. I'll take it. I gave my back to the smiters. I gave my beard to them that plucked my hairs. That's what makes this love so amazing, that God didn't have to do it, but he did it because he loves you, and he couldn't express his love any more than what he has. It's unspeakable. It's out of this world. God, you know, the psalmist can identify with this as well. The psalmist says in Psalm 8, verse 4, he says this, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of us and that thou visit us? Who are we? It blew him away. Not only Paul and John, behold, what manner of love is this? And Paul, this unspeakable gift. But now the psalmist, and even in the Old Testament, saying, are you serious, this plan? Because the Old Testament was a plan, and for the prophets, knowing the Messiah was going to come, they knew that he was coming sometime in the future, and he'd be just blown away saying, what, God, you're going to come all the way from heaven on earth? What? Who are we? You know, some religions can't even grasp this, especially the Muslim religion. The Muslim religion, if you tell them that God became a man, they kind of laugh. So, are you serious? God Almighty become a man? Do you think he'll lower himself to that point? Yeah, our God will, because you know why? Our God is a God of love. I don't know about what your God is all about, killing and murder, but our God is about love. Yes, God did that, and he didn't have to. He did it because he loves you. And he couldn't demonstrate his love more than what he did. Look, God commendeth his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is amazing love. This love is so amazing. When you look at it and see God for who he is. You know, I ponder in my life, honestly, seriously. Sometimes I sit down and I look at my life, especially the 11 years that I've since I made that decision of receiving Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And I look back at my life, and I look at my life to how I lived it before Christ. And now I look at my life with Christ. And I look and I sit and I think, Lord, you have blessed me too much. I mean, I fail you and I do this and I'm still in sin and I do this and I do that and you still bless me and you give me this and you give me that and you still want fellowship with me. This is too much. This is too much. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to say about this, but all I can say is thank you. I'm just so thankful that you've given me this life, and I'm so thankful that you're willing to forgive me and give me eternal life. And that you want to make me your child. You're going to be my dad. And you know, that's the best part of it. You go home, you talk to God. God's not there where you say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us. That's not God. God, you sit down, you say, Good morning, Dad. Yeah. Behold, what manner of love. But as many as received him, to them gave ye power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. Can I say this? What are you going to do with this love? You can either receive it, and he gives you the power and authority to become a child of God, and you experience this peace and joy, and this assurance, this wonderful gift. Or you can say, no, thank you very much. In closing, it's not only the gift of God, which is love, grace, that he's bestowed upon us, but it's the characteristics of that love and what it is. I'm blown away with the long-suffering of God. You know, I preach the gospel in prisons, in hospitals, on the street, family, friends, and one out of 50 might say, oh, this is great, or 100, and the rest would say, no, thank you very much. I don't need him. I have my life. And they're proud. I'm thinking, you're blowing me away. He's God, and you're rejecting this. I mean, you have no power to raise yourself up again. You have no power to create something. What's wrong with you? Don't you want this gift? You know, when I got saved, I thought everyone was going to receive this gift. I was that naive, thinking, this is great. Why didn't I hear about this long time ago? But to my surprise, people would just reject it. Said, nah. Or wait. Count the cost. And looking at a God in the flesh, I'd say, why don't you just forget about it? And he would say, no, I'm waiting. I love him. And it was the long suffering of God that blew my mind away. I'm willing to wait. I'll wait as long as I can until they make a final decision. What's your final decision? You've still got a chance. I mean, you've probably rejected God in your life, but God loves you. He says, I want you to come. Still got a chance. That's the beauty about God. You come to God, you say, God, I don't know what I've been waiting for so long. I'm so sorry. This is so amazing. I want to receive it. I met a man on Sunday. After I preached at Faith Baptist Church. It's our sending church. I walked into the bookstore. I wanted to buy a few gifts as presents for Christmas. And I seen this man. I looked at him. I seen him before. I said, what are you doing here? And it was a man that worked for my optometrist. He was a worker there, and he was working there for several years. And every time I'd leave for my optometrist, he's the one that would serve me, you know, scan my Medicare card, give me my glasses, take appointments. I'd see him about several times every year. My eyes are just getting worse. And every time I'd see him, I'd give one of these gospel tracts. I'd give him one of these gospel tracts that had these wonderful gift, this wonderful message. Jesus loves you. God loves you. Wants you to become you. And he'll take it. And his demeanor, it looked like he wasn't interested. And, you know, just keep trying, keep praying, keep loving. And then he was there. I looked, I said, what are you doing? What are you doing here? He said, are you a Christian? And he said, yeah. I said, when did you become a Christian? He goes, about a year and a half ago. I said, great. I didn't know what to say. I said, can I give you a hug? He said, sure. And I'll tell you, this man, and you know what he said? He said, Charlie, he said, I remember you. I said, I'll never forget every time you came in and you gave me these tracks. He said, that made a difference. God impacted me on my life. He says, please pray for my family. Pray for my wife and my kids. I thought, wow. And you know, God was long-suffering in that man's life. That blew me away later on to see that he'd come. There was still a chance. It just blew me away. It left me speechless. This unspeakable gift that God is so loving and so long-suffering. And God loves you. He loves you so much. He wants you to make a decision. But what it takes this. You say, Lord, I've been living my life my own way. I don't want to do that anymore. And I know I can't live it without you. I need you in my life, Lord. I know I'm a sinner, but I want this gift. I don't deserve it, but I want it. Lord, I want to call upon you right now, and I want this gift. It's for free. I don't have to pay for it. And I don't deserve it. This is wonderful. You promised me forgiveness. Eternal life. becoming a child of God and experiencing your love. Lord, I don't deserve it, but I know you love me. I want it. Maybe this Christmas, today, it can be your gift. Wow, what a Christmas gift. To have your sin forgiven. To have a Father in heaven that loves you and wants to give you home in heaven forever and ever. And to experience God's love after that from a day to day, his long suffering. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I hope and pray that you'd make a decision today. Let's pray.